Love, 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 the gospel in a word is love. Love your neighbor as your brother. God loves us all.
I learned that song in church summer camp years ago. The gospel, the good news of God's inbreaking into our world through the human Jesus, is the story of how God so loved the world that God wanted to live in it with us. It's a message that took Mary and Joseph and Mary's relative Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah by surprise. You heard me say last week that Zechariah was so surprised by the angel that he doubted the angel's words and then lost his voice until his son was born. Mary, on the other hand, is certainly surprised by the appearance of an angel with news that she has been chosen to bear God's child, greatly perplexed, some translations say. She asks the angel how it's possible, and the angel tells her nothing's impossible for God. The convincing evidence seems to be that the very news that Zechariah rejected, Elizabeth, who's never been able to have children, is now pregnant. Nothing is impossible for God, Mary, not Elizabeth's pregnancy and not your own. And Mary says yes, choosing to give herself to the task of parenting God's child. Mary chooses the path of love and becomes a pathway for divine love to enter the world. Throughout this worship series, I have been asking you each Sunday, who has been a gift of presence to you this week? And to whom have you given a gift of presence? I want to tell you about my gifts of presence from Wednesday and Thursday this week. Now, Wednesday in my town, at my house, is my trash pickup day. And usually the contractor doesn't arrive before noon, so I have time in the morning to get the trash and the recyclables out to the curb. This week, as I was gathering those things up, I heard a plaintive, persistent meowing. It was not Martha. Martha says ribbit. This cat said meow. I looked for the source, and here was this tiny, and I do mean tiny, gray tiger kitten by the garage door staring at me. Y'all know I'm a sucker for kittens. So I went back in the house and I got a little bowl with some food and I brought it back out. The kitten now had come several steps closer to the front door, but she wouldn't let me touch her yet. So I set the bowl down and I went on with what I was doing, putting the trash and recycling to the curb. And the kitten began to eat and then very soon started to meow again. So I brought some water. By now it was willing to come to my feet and let me pet it, and it kept edging closer to the front door. Now, my house cat's been very clear about not wanting additional boarders at our house, and I had to leave for work, so this was not the moment to try and introduce a kitten into the house, but I have this back porch. So picture me with this little kitten winding around my feet, carrying the food and the water through the snow to the back porch, where I also brought her a litter pan and a blanket. When I left for work, she was eating her way through the rest of the food I had left. And by Wednesday night, she was in the house. She and Ellie haven't quite made peace yet, but this little kitten chose me. And so I am choosing to love her too. Now, could I have ignored that tiny little voice on Wednesday morning? Maybe. Probably not. Did stopping to care for this tiny kitten put my day behind schedule? Absolutely. But is there anything more important than being present and giving care and compassion to a creature of God's creating? Now, if that story were not enough, I had another gift. On Thursday morning, I had the opportunity to watch over another young one. This one belongs to Margot's oldest, dearest friend, Emily. Little Zane is just 7 weeks old. And Zane's great-grandfather passed away last weekend, and Zane's mother, Emily, wanted to be able to attend her grandfather's funeral, so I offered to watch over her little one for a few hours. She was relieved. It was the first time she left the baby with anybody. So she was relieved to know that she could go out the door and not worry too much about her little boy And I was so pleased that I had the flexibility that I could make that offer. And while I did take a book with me thinking I would read while Zane was napping between feedings, in truth, I never opened my book. He slept in my arms. And I enjoyed being present in this moment with nothing else to do or to think about than this small, precious life. Twice in 1 week, I received the gift of caring for these tender young lives. Mary's "Here am I" is a promise to hold and cradle and care for a tender, fragile life, which will be an extraordinary life. She will nurture and care for God's Messiah. She will give love to the one who comes to show God's love. It's a role reversal from the beginning. Reverend Caroline Lewis says, Mary's story demands that we acknowledge the very transformation of God. It is no small journey to go from our comfortable perceptions of God to God in the manger, vulnerable and helpless and dependent. And yet this is the promise of Christmas. God, the Creator, takes the form of the creation in its most helpless state, an infant. And so this child needs to be loved and cared for and nurtured and bathed and fed and taught. Mary's love and Joseph's love will help Jesus grow into who he's meant to be, the bearer of God's love and God's image in the world. And then Jesus will channel their love and God's love into the world. The responsibility must have felt to Mary like a very tall order. But the angel's words also bore this encouragement. Blessed are you, the Lord is with you. You are not alone, Mary. Not only is God present in this pregnancy and in this child, but also, and this seems to be the turning point for Mary, Elizabeth is also pregnant. You are not alone. Elizabeth is experiencing some of the same things Mary is. The unexpectedness, the intervention of God into the world, the burdensome thought that this child will be extraordinary, and the weight of raising this child to know and love God with all of heart and soul and mind and strength. Elizabeth knows something of how this feels for Mary. And Elizabeth knows, as Mary will, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God being born in her heart. Our Monday night book study this week examined chapter 3 of Right Here, Right Now by Amy Oden. In this chapter, Oden recounts dozens of meditative prayer practices, including a prayer from Teresa of Avila, a 16th century nun and abbess. In her Prayer of Recollection, Teresa invites the speaker to imagine their heart as holding a little bit of heaven. And she compares contemplative prayer that looks into that internalized heaven to the way bees return to their cells in order to produce honey. It is the inward turning and nurturing that allows us to look outward with sweetness and compassion and love. Is that not nurturing and caring for God's word and God's love in our own hearts? Giving attention to our inner selves, is that not nurturing the spirit that dwells within us, giving it safe space to grow and flourish? And then what sweeter product can we bring from the little heavens of our own hearts than the sort of honey that sweetens the world? The gift of being present with love is a gift that requires something of us. It requires our attention and our nurturing. And yes, sometimes that is going to mean setting aside our own agendas or our own timelines or our own ideas of what life should be like in order to honor the one who created us, who dwells in us, who calls us to live the gospel of love, sweet love. Amen.